Ugh, I'm not in the mood. Do we have to do this?
Yes.
Wait, are we recording? Okay, let's go. You're listening to The Allie Colbert Show. You're just the best. Already top guest I've ever had.
Oh my God, this is amazing. So exciting, right off the jump.
Dude, right off the jump, probably my favorite segment of the population is lesbian YouTuber. What a
really?
Special.
I don't know if I'd agree, to be honest.
What a special group of people. Brianne Williamson.
Sure.
I just watched your video. It felt like a TikTok, but it was on Instagram where you're like, me trying to be the dad or the boyfriend during games you played as a kid.
Yes. I've just been repurposing the TikToks everywhere because it feels like the only thing that fucking works these days. But when I was a kid, I was always either the dad or weirdly the robber. Like, why were little girls into things getting stolen from their fake houses so often? I don't know, but I was like the robber. And the dog. And I think there is a strong correlation.
The dog was very male.
Yes. It's, if you were the dog when you played make-believe as a kid, you are queer now. It's official. There's no questions asked.
That's really true. I think I was a dog a few times, which was definitely gay of me.
But oh, yeah.
I always was like, I'll be the boyfriend or I'll be the brother. Which was a popular one.
Oh, okay.
I'll be brother. Like, yeah, I'm your older brother. That's like a first expression of lesbianism. I loved playing husband, especially if we could really reenact sort of the more intimate moments. I would really appreciate that.
Yes. I remember me and my like bestie, we would just lay in bed together and, you know, we're like, oh, this is what we're doing. We're a husband and wife going to sleep. And in my mind, I was like, why does this feel so right?
I know.
And here we are. I'm a flaming dyke. Can I swear on this one?
Are you kidding me? Of course.
Okay. Just double check. I always ask. I just said flaming dyke off the jump. So I'm just double checking.
This podcast could be called Flaming Dyke. Like it's. 100 This is the right show for you.
That would do really well on the algorithm. All the sites would love that, I'm sure.
I would get lots of ads.
lots of sponsors.
Yeah, like Sakara Life is like, we really want to work with Flaming Dyke. I remember when I would play those games, I would always be like, let's just jump to the nighttime. How about? Like, let's do like a 7 o'clock. Let's start at sundown. I've come home from a long day of work and I'm just dying to be blown.
Absolutely.
I'll call action. Does that work for everyone? Everyone's like, what the fuck is wrong with your older sister, Sammy?
I like how you set the scene. You know, time's not real anyway, so we might as well just jump to the good bits. Let's just go with it.
I would always be like, all right, now we'll do a quick daytime. We'll kind of rush through it on fast forward. We'll drop the kids off at school and then we'll do a scene just me alone with mom while the kids are in class. Does that sound good for everyone? Just like so thinly veiled, my motives.
I love that.
So you're doing that as a kid. I mean, I don't really know your story or much about you. So I'm going to learn about you along with my listeners right now. And really my episodes with lesbian YouTubers are just kind of taking myself and my audience through your lesbian life.
Like, okay, love that.
You know, so if you're playing as the dog, which is very gay, when did you realize you were queer?
I think I think this is relatable weirdly for a lot of people, but I was fucking girls for a long time before I realized I was gay.
What did you think you were doing?
I don't know. It wasn't like the practice thing. It was just, you know, everyone goes to that. Oh, were you practicing kissing? No. It was like full real. But I think I just thought I was just having a fun time, you know?
Was that high school?
That was high school. I feel like I just thought it was, I think I escaped a lot of finger pointing by being like, it's to be hot. Like, it's kind of like for the male gaze. Like, I use the male
but
gaze.
But you were doing it in private and no one knew about it.
Absolutely.
For the male gaze, as one does.
But then all the guys would call me a lesbian and I'd be like, shut up. What are you talking about? And I would just deny. I'd be the girl who always like made out with girls at parties. So I think people thought I was like the fun party girl with that.
They thought you were fun.
Vibe. Yeah, they thought I was, you know, just a fun gal in high school having fun with her pals. And then I went on a Mexico trip with some high school friends right after graduation. At this point, I think I had in my mind been like, maybe you're bi. And I was trying to kind of figure that out because I was like, I don't know, girls make me really nervous. And I think I'm in love with a lot of my best friends.
You had and that. Then, you were in love with the friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like everyone since elementary school, looking back now, I'm like, I loved them in a way they didn't love me. Like, yeah. I now understand that. But at the time, I thought it was a mutual exchange. So I think unpacking that later on in life is like, oh, friendship's different. Got it. But then we went on a group trip to Mexico. And at this time, I was like hyper femmy. I was the girl who would go to a house party and I'd be wearing like a bandage dress with like 5-inch heels. Like, I loved that. And I went to this.
Not overcompensating for anything.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I went to this Mexico resort, this all-inclusive resort. And it was like, I can still picture it, like a slow-mo movie scene. There was this basketball short sports bra wearing gal across the pool who is about my age, and I immediately became hyper fixated. Like, wow. When I say that for every moment of that first day of that vacation, I knew exactly where she was standing. Like, I was aware, and I was there with my boyfriend, so this was
oh my god.
And then basically this progressed, because if you've ever been to an all-inclusive, you know everyone kind of gets shipped in the same day, right? Like,
yeah,
all
you
the
become
idiots.
A family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You get off the bus, so there's like, you know, 400 idiots that get off the same bus. You're there for a week. It's like adult summer camp. By the end, you know everyone's business, the whole thing. So by like day 3, we had kind of like joined groups, and I was now very close to this sports bra lesbian. And we were just, you know, we were pals. And every night my boyfriend would go to bed, you know, at like a reasonable hour for a Mexico vacation, at like midnight, 1 a.m. or whatever. And I would stay up with this girl at the 24/7 bar on the resort all night until like 6 or 7 a.m., at which time I would go back to the room, and then we'd wake up like an hour or two later for breakfast.
Oh.
Like, I spent every night for like 5 hours alone with this girl. And in my mind, I was still like, I don't know what's happening.
Did this girl hit on you?
Oh, yeah. She was like, we were in love. We fell in love, Allie. This is like,
so
this
did
is
you
like,
hook up?
We didn't. The whole, but you know what?
How?
It was all of the emotional cheating. Like, it was, every conversation was surrounded around like, but I can't because I have a boyfriend, and like, I'm not cheating. I'm being like reasonable because I'm not kissing you. But we would literally like stare into each other's eyes and be like 1 inch apart on the beach. And like,
I can't believe you didn't cheat.
I can't either. And looking back, honestly, I wish I fucking did.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
like, because I was so young, like, whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at that point, and you're figuring out your identity and your sexuality, that was a moment you could have seized while he was sleeping. I mean, by the way, what does he think you're doing hanging out with the dyke by the 24/7 bar?
I think he was in denial, too. Like, at this point, I think it was fairly obvious to both of us what was going on. And I had been, like, talking about how many girls I thought were hot, and I used to always say things like, oh, like, if you know, like, if I wasn't with you, I'd totally marry a girl. You know, those kind of statements. Like, I like girls so much better. Guys are annoying.
Was he turned on by that?
I think he wasn't, but I think as a young guy, he thought he should be. I think he hated it. But I think he thought, because of the toxic nature of the current time and space, that he should be turned on by it. Because all the other guys were like, oh, that's so cool when girls make out. Like, I don't care what my girlfriend does that. So, like, misogyny helped me out.
Right. In some ways, it makes it acceptable until you kind of cross a lesbian line, and then society starts being like, that's not cool. Wait, where did you grow up again?
Vancouver, Canada.
Okay, so you grew up in Vancouver, and you're always, you know, throughout high school, you're having these kind of hookups with other girls, but this Mexico trip kind of makes things clear for you. But the first time you hook up with a girl and you're telling yourself, you know, it doesn't mean I'm gay. This is kind of hot that I'm doing this. Are you totally overwhelmed by how turned on you are by it, though? And like how great it, like the experience, like for me, hooking up with a guy compared to a woman is like, it's like watching a movie on mute in with the color all the way down. And then a girl is like a 3D film where the sounds are, you're in, you know, like a huge amphitheater. Like, it's just, it's a muted nothing experience compared to this vivid you're in, right? So how are you able to hook up with girls and then date this guy? Are you're upset about it, or you're fine with his sex and you're fine with the hooking up with the other girls? Like, I don't understand.
Well, I will say I was very good at being performative with my one boyfriend.
Okay.
I will put it like that. I think I also confuse, like a lot of people do it at a young age with men. I thought performance was sex.
Yeah.
Like, I hadn't orgasmed and I was just like, that doesn't matter. Like, it's about kind of like putting on a show and being sexy. I was very conscious of like how my body looked and how I was being perceived, and I wasn't in it. Like, I wasn't enjoying it. And then when I had sex with a girl for the first time, I orgasmed and I immediately started sobbing my eyes out. Like,
okay, so
I remember
that's a little bit of red flag.
Yeah. I remember being so emotionally overwhelmed by the realization that, like, that's how a hookup was supposed to go. And
was
that that's
after
how
basketball
it was supposed
boy?
To feel. No.
Before.
This was before.
Okay.
This
so you're overwhelmed. You can't believe
I'm overwhelmed.
This is what it is. Right.
Yeah. And then I'm like, well, I'll stick it out, because in my mind, I was like, I'm going to marry a guy. Like, that's just my reality. I think I was so stuck in heteronormativity and just that expectation for myself that I wasn't even willing to come out to myself yet fully. I wanted that option of the out. I wanted the option of, I'll still marry a guy one day. Like, I'm just having fun, whatever. And I think a big part of that was because, and why I could still cling to that, was because I hadn't been with or communicated vocally about my sexuality with someone who was reciprocating it. And then when I was in Mexico and that girl was actually saying she liked me romantically and what we were doing was not for fun or just because it was hot, I was like, oh shit, this is real. Like, this isn't just like a silly thing that young girls do.
Yeah. Wow. I'm impressed you were able to, because I had a similar thing of, it was hard to come out to myself, but you were able to like fuck, you still were able to fuck all these girls. Like, I was like, I can't come out to myself. I can barely touch a girl. You're like, I cannot come out to myself, but I will eat some pussy. That's kind of the lines I will draw, which seem fair.
Yeah.
But so after your basketball boyfriend, do you break up with him after you have this moment with this woman, or do you still say to yourself, no, let me hang around? And
so we spend the whole week together in Mexico. And then when we got back, we broke up like the week after. And when I tell you, I was so devastated and heartbroken that I didn't hook up with that girl in Mexico.
Oh, like, I thought you were going to say about the breakup.
Oh, well, I was in a way, but I think what I was mourning was that I knew I would never date a guy again.
Yeah, like, you're crying because you're gay.
Exactly. And at the time I was like, is this heartbreak? And I'm like, no, this has been my beard. Like, this is the one guy that I've been with. This has been my, like, you know, high school love in my mind that I was like, I'm just going to marry this dude. We're going to have kids. We're going to do the whole thing. And then once that was gone, the reality hit that it was like, I am not interested in looking for another guy. Do you want, this is so embarrassing. When we broke up, I remember the next day I'm sobbing my eyes out. I think I'm going to die because of all the things hitting me. And I go onto my Facebook because at the time that was like the main thing. And I went through all of my friends list looking to see if I could find another guy that I thought I could like or be with. I don't know why I was like trying to fix it in my mind. It was like autopilot.
Yeah.
And I'm going down this friends list and I was like, I don't want to be with any of these guys. Like, I don't like guys.
Yeah.
And it was just that I spent like a week in bed. I was like, my life is over. This is devastating. It was all hitting me at once. Meanwhile, my long lost Mexico love crush is gone forever because these people only exist in Mexico resorts, as we all know.
Of course. Of course.
And I am just heartbroken. It was just everything at once. And I think it was a lot. And I think my family and friends were very confused because they didn't fully understand why I was so devastated. So when they were trying to make me feel better in the way that you would usually make someone feel better about them and their partner breaking up, it wasn't hitting for me. Like, it wasn't working and I didn't want to talk to anyone about it. Yeah. So I became a recluse, I would say, for a few months. I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't go out anywhere. It was really a rough time. And then that's when I kind of started fully unpacking for myself that, like, I'm going to be with women. Like, I like women. Right.
And so are you, you're not sharing with your family that you think you might be gay. No. Of course, this is, you're doing this thought thinking on your own.
This is me thinking on my own. And I think a lot of people skip over that coming out to yourself thing. Like, a lot of my friends that are straight or family that are straight, the assumption is that, like, oh, you've always known and you just, like, weren't telling us. And for a time that was true, but a lot of the journey, like, I was just as much in the closet to myself. I was doing everything to convince myself.
I am blown away that so many people have this experience where it's like lost on them that they're gay. Because I feel like I knew I was gay, but I was always rejecting it.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want it to be the truth, but I knew.
Right.
But it's, right. By the way, I love when you see someone who's like presents much dykier than you or me. And they're like, I had no idea I was gay. I'm like, really?
I love that too.
I'm like, of course you're gay. Which is like so delightful so that people are just like so doe-eyed moving through their life.
Yeah.
How are we searching for, you know, our sports bra love on Facebook? What are we doing? We didn't get her number. How did that happen?
You know what? I think I was embarrassed. I think I was like kind of overwhelmed by the whole situation. So we did eventually add each other on Facebook. And then years later, we kind of, you know, messaged and communicated and just kind of laughed about the whole situation. And so, like, I have connected with him since, and it's so funny because of the lesbian world, I have been at pride events in various places and run into them.
That is
which is
amazing.
So funny to me. But yeah, no, it definitely was just like this young kind of love connection that I definitely appreciate and attribute to helping me come out. And yeah. I've communicated that with them because I think, in a way, which I know, like, eye roll, people always say representation is so important. But for me, I was in such a bubble with, which I know seems ridiculous because I was like kissing girls and hooking up with girls, whatever. But in the bubble that I was in, you know, high school, I think there was like 120 people in my graduating class. I had been friends with the same people. No one at the time was out as gay in my graduating class.
Me
in high school.
Can I ask how old you are?
I'm 31.
Yeah, same here. No one was.
Exactly. So it's different. You know, it was a different time. It just wasn't something that I had around me. I didn't have the shows that people had now. I didn't have the social media. I didn't have all that stuff. So unless I had seen that sports bra wearing basketball short wearing person across the pool. Like, I don't know. It might have taken me a lot longer. Right.
Right. Right.
It was that moment for me.
Yeah. I mean, the only show that there was that I didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know when the L Word came out, but I remember later in life seeing the L Word on my parents' television as like an option I could click. But I was, I saw that and I was like, I know what the L Word is. I know what word they're talking about. And I didn't, I was so tempted to click and watch it, but I didn't want it to be on their history. So I didn't watch it. But other than that, all I had was Rosie and Ellen. And I was like, this is not me. I don't feel this way. Like, I am very confused. And I've said this 100 times that they're just not like, they're like two dimensional cartoon TV talk show hosts. Like, there was 100%. No Miley Cyrus, Kristen Stewart, the Bachelorette is gay and the president is, I'm like a lesbian. I'm like, there's no bisexual senators wearing like a hijab. There's nothing like this is going on.
No.
Like, I, you know, it, so yeah, it was like, what does this even look like in the world?
Yes, you know? Exactly. And yeah, even when you did have some representation, the farthest it went is they carried the label, but you didn't know anything about their personal life. As you said, they were two dimensional. So you weren't seeing any storylines unfold on TV shows. You weren't, you know, getting to really know them besides like maybe a small excerpt in an interview. So it was very hard for me to grasp any sort of reality where it would be okay for me to be gay and live as gay, or that that could even be a fucking possibility. Like, at that time when I was going to high school, like, it wasn't like, am I gay? Oh, this person's gay. Maybe I am too. It just did not even cross my mind.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about now, because now it's like, you can't get away from the gays, which I love.
Know you can't get away from them. And okay, so after you go through this period and you eventually name it to yourself, do you start, you immediately start dating women? Do you start going on, I don't know, dating apps and looking for women? Like, what's the first step you make in like living that life?
Well, Tumblr.
Why is Tumblr so gay?
Tumblr, I think Tumblr was like safe feeling because it was still kind of niche, so it wasn't like the Facebook where all the like, yeah, it felt kind of secret, which is funny looking back because social media is so not secret, but at the time I think I still didn't really understand how it works. So I was like, I'm gonna make a Tumblr account with my full name, Brianne Williamson, and no one from my high school or anyone will ever find it because it's Tumblr and it's this weird niche thing, and like,
it feels
safe.
In like the lights out in like the attic of the internet, but it's like fully not.
Yeah. And it was the first place that it kind of felt easy to find community because you could search like hashtag lesbian and that would come up, you know? Right. So I, you know, found a bit of a community on there. That's where I started posting about like my feelings and coming out to myself. And that was like kind of like an online diary in a way. And then I ended up having some online relationships with people, some of which I still have never met, which is just so baby gay, I can't even handle it.
Like an online girlfriend?
Oh, yeah. I had many. There's one that I had for
Me too.
6 months, and I've still never met her.
Did you even see a photo?
I did see photos. I had another one that I got some nudes from, which was very exciting. But
that's
really
exciting.
It was very, very exciting. And I sent to her at her family's address a anonymous bouquet of flowers. But the only thing I could afford at the time was like their smallest one that came in like a little happy face mug. It was like a thank you to teachers flower bouquet.
Oh my, thank you for teaching me about myself.
So I sent that off and she got it and she posted a picture of it on her Tumblr feed, and I was like all excited. I'm like, oh my god. So
why didn't you meet up in person?
I don't know. I think a combination of it was still that I wasn't out. So my like panic was, oh, if I go somewhere, I mean, I'm still living at home. I'm just starting college. I'm like, if I go somewhere, I'm going to have to tell my parents where I'm going or why I'm going. And again, in hindsight, if I had just said to my parents, like, oh, I'm going to this place to meet this friend, it probably would have gone right over their head. Like, they're not thinking I'm a fucking lesbian at this point. But, you know, you feel like you have the lesbian alarms going off all around you. Oh, so you're like, any nod towards it is a no-no. Yeah. And then the other
like
part
a trip
of it
wire.
Is, yeah. And then the other part of it is I had no fucking money. So I'm like, try and get $600 to get on a flight to go visit this girl and have to explain to my parents where I'm going seemed outrageous.
Right. So when you start college, do you start as an out person? I always feel like it's easier.
No.
Oh, yeah. You're like, that wouldn't make sense. Let me meet people as straight.
I fucked up big time on that. And then I would pick and choose who I was honest with and who I would lie to. Same. So then it was just kind of keeping up the like house of cards constantly, which was a really stressful place to be in. You know, some of the people I was in classes with, I was like, I feel like this is where I'm straight. And then I'd go to another class and I'd meet someone who had like blue hair and I'd be like, I'm a lesbian.
I totally get that. You know? I did the same thing.
Yeah, you're kind of like dipping your toes in.
You're like, anyone in my law class? I'm straight for that class. Okay, that's a really straight room. You just completely judge everyone in there.
Exactly. So, okay.
All right. And then where did you go to school?
So I go to school at CAPU here in Vancouver, British Columbia. It was kind of fun because this one girl who I had a really big crush on, she was in the business program that I was also in. So we were in a couple classes together and I thought she was an absolute babe. And I was just obsessed with her and in love with her. And she was so straight, like the most straight girl you can ever imagine that's ever lived. Right. Like she eats, sleeps, breathes being straight. Yeah, you do. You definitely do. And I was just obsessed with her. And one day I was walking down one of the halls, and because I had created this house of cards where I was out to people and I was not out to people, some of my friends that I was out to in different classes had invited me to this like queer collective movie night that was going on. So I was like, okay, perfect. It's after like all the classes are done. No one's going to be around the campus. Like I'll go to this queer collective. It'll be a cute start. So I'm walking, and of course I'm just outside this fucking event, and who comes up is Straighty McStraiterson, the love of my life.
Right.
And I'm
where
like,
are you going?
Fuck me. Yeah. She's like, oh, hey, what's up? I off the cuff, and that's one thing I've gotten really good at lying, which is crazy, but it's true, because you learn how to do it with a straight face on off the cuff real quick.
You got
it. I was like, oh, I'm in a event planning class, which I was, and one of our assignments is to attend an event that's happening on campus and rate how well it was planned and what you would do differently in the future.
That is genius.
We had a certain amount of events to choose from, and I was given this event. So I am now heading into this queer movie night. I'm for no reason other than this assignment.
And what does she say?
Flawless. She was like, nice. Like,
brilliant. That's fluid, smooth, clean. I would not doubt that for a second. It makes sense. And if you said it because you have the class, and if you say it, believing it, I would be sold on that. And it's so psychotic how fast you came up with that.
I know, it is psychotic. And the real psychotic thing is that you start to believe these things. Like then I'm in this, you know, queer collective movie night, and I'm you know, judging the space. How'd they do on the invites? How'd they do on the snacks? You know,
right.
Did it start on time? How's
totally.
The host doing?
You're
you know.
Collecting intel for your lie.
Yeah, for my 3-page essay that I'm going to be compiling for this event that's not actually happening. But yeah,
but, you know,
you start to believe it too. You have to commit to the bit.
Of course. And I mean, I think that like even saying that, like for the, I mean, I just want to preface, because I think that a lot of queer people have the potential, well, at least me and you, I understand the potential to do that, but I think it's because, like, I was in survival mode for so long about being gay and having to hide this that, like, I'm not just lying because I'm a good liar. Like, I'm so scared, so terrified, have been, like, oh, like, hiding something with awareness for so long that, like, if you don't make up something, it feels life-threatening. So it's not that you're a psychopath. Absolutely. I just want to say.
I mean, I am kind of, but for different reasons. Right. But, yeah, when it comes to lying about being gay thing, yeah, it becomes second nature. It's just, it is what it is. I mean, I had a friend's mom walk out. I had a job at a coffee shop. And this friend's mom walks in and she was kind of like the mean girl's mom of our community. Like she was always trying to be up on like the kids' goss and all that. Yeah. And she walks right up to the counter and she's like, "Bree, how are you doing? I hear you're a lesbian." And I was like, "What? I've literally never panicked so much in my life." And I was like, "No, what are you talking about?" At this point, I had a full ass girlfriend. But I was just so stressed. So like you go into that moment where when you're so used to being in survival mode for so long, even when I had started to come out to friends and certain family members, I would still lie in the moment just because that was like my natural go-to for so long. Like deny, cover it up, move to the next.
Yeah.
That, you know, call it internalized homophobia or whatever it may be. I would just jump to that. And then part of the frustration for me was that I'd be like, fuck, I just did it again. Like I could have just said, yeah, you know, and I think about it for the next like day, like, oh, I should have just been like, oh yeah, why? Or, you know, whatever. Right. But I felt like I always added more to my plate to unpack. And then because of that, it felt more and more stressful to like publicly fully come out.
Always. I really, totally. I mean, and the other thing is like when it feels like uncomfortable or like if you feel awkward about like claiming it, then the people around you are awkward about it. Yeah. And I would be like, why are they so weird about it? And it's like, no, I'm the one that's like sourcing how weird everyone's being because I'm not being casual, chill, honest about it. So then everyone is like, oh, is it weird? Is it okay? And it's like, you're just, you're putting that out. Like people think you're not okay with it. So they're not sure how to act.
Totally. I had friends that I was out to, like a few of my close first friends that, you know, we'd be going to a party or other friends would be coming to hang out. And I'd be like, oh, when they get here, don't tell them that I'm dating a girl. Yeah. You know, so I was like fucking putting this on them too. Now they're carrying this and you know, and they were weird about it because they were like, I don't know. And I wouldn't tell them shit because I didn't want them to potentially relay it accidentally. And it was just, it was a whole thing. But, you know, we create these mountains for ourselves, not because we want to, but unfortunately at the time we have to, you know. For me, it wasn't an option. I knew that certain family was not going to be accepting of it. I was very stressed out, and I genuinely believe at the time that it would not have been a good choice for me to come out any younger. So when people say, oh, do you wish you came out younger? Honestly, for me, no. I think that for me, it kind of saved me that I waited until I was comfortable enough with myself and I had the resources for myself to do so.
Right. It's like if you were comfortable enough, you would have come out and you would have prepared.
Yeah, and it would have been the right time, but no, it wasn't the right time. So it is what it is.
It's not the time until it is the time. I mean, this is, I get it.
Yeah.
So what happens when you do come out? You're like, I'm still actually not out to my family. When you do come out to your family, are they, you know, was it your fear or were they, how did they react?
It was a combo. I mean, my dad was pretty shitty about it, to be honest. They're great now. So it always sucks to like relay back to the times when they weren't so great.
Yeah.
Because you like to give people a little bit of grace, but I also think it's exhausting that we give this applause to straight people that are nice about people coming out. Honestly, I think it's kind of exhausting that we're like, look at these hero parents that don't hate their kid because they're gay. It's like, okay, well, that should be the status quo. So shut the fuck up. But yeah, with my family, I think my dad was really stressed about what other people would think. He was pretty shitty. Like he full on got mad when I told him that I was going to bring my girlfriend over to like meet them. He was like, okay, well, I'm not going to be here. Like basically like, well, I'm not going to meet her. So fuck off. Another component of that was I really wanted to put out a video My first video on YouTube, funny enough, was my coming out video because things had started happening. Yeah. Like the mom coming up to me at the coffee shop. And, you know, I heard the whispers kind of around the community I grew up in. And I was getting increasingly frustrated about the various storylines that were out there and feeling like I had no control over them. And I just got to the point where I was over it. So at this point, I, you know, had not made YouTube videos. I was not a YouTuber. I had just been on Tumblr and I was like, okay, I'm just going to make a video. I'm going to post it to my Facebook where all of my high school people are. And that's they're going to just fucking see it. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy, right? Because I had all these years of just trying to figure out ways to do it. I had all these plans in my mind. How am I going to do it? And then I was like, you know what? Let's just rip the fucking bandaid off. Because I got so exhausted. I was like, I cannot keep up anymore with all of these variations of my truth out there, both from what I've presented and what people have made up in their heads. Yeah. So I was like, this way I can say it the way I want to say it. I know what's going to happen. I know everyone's going to send the video to each other. I know they're going to talk behind my back about it, but at least they have my words. At least I'll get the fucking clout. No, honestly, at that point,
subscribe to the page.
Me, like, subscribe down below. Yeah, so I put this video out and I think I purposely did it, maybe even subconsciously while my parents were away. And I posted it and I'll never forget my mom like called me crying about me posting it. And I think she was like upset that I posted it, but also she was really upset that I referred to myself as queer in it, which I think is a generational thing. Like she thought I was like slurring myself. Like, you know, like she thought I was like putting myself down in the video. And I was like, mom, like the community in my college is called the Queer Collective. Like that's like a positive word, all encompassing word now.
That's really
and she
funny.
Was like, I just hate that you called yourself queer. It's like, oh my god. So they were like emotional about it. They had a lot of opinions about it and about the way I did it, but they came around. You know, I think I put up with a lot in order to keep the peace with the hope that eventually they would, and they did. So that's, you know, the end game was great, but the like fighter for LGBTQ plus rights in me, it was like, it sucks that I had to like kind of endure bullshit and act like it was okay. Yeah. Just because I wanted them to be okay with me.
Right. Do you start seeing a community emerge for yourself on YouTube then, or it came much later?
Mostly then, but at the time, again, I had no real understanding of what that was. I didn't watch YouTubers. I thought of YouTube as like the place you go if, you know, a concert happens and you want to see a clip of it or whatever. Like I didn't know of it in as a space where there was like personalities and people that people follow. So yeah, I mean, I got a lot of views on that video and then from there followers, and then I just kind of started posting videos organically, and I think that's where my social media stuff kind of started. And then I, again, this is aging myself, right around that time Instagram was just like coming out,
right?
So then I started an Instagram page, and then for a long time I was like, do I keep it straight, do I add gayness to it, because I was getting followers on YouTube and on Tumblr that I was like, I don't know if they're gonna come over here, and it was like this whole thing. So it was a weird starting point for me, because it's not like how people are doing it this day, where day and age, where they're like going into it with an idea and a niche and they're posting with intention. I was just kind of seeing where everything went on its own, honestly.
I get that. I mean, I had a huge breakdown around, can I be gay in my personal life but still be straight on stage? I had this like this like fantasy, not a good one, that I would be gay, like do gay jokes on stage or talk about being gay and immediately lose the audience, or they wouldn't find my other jokes funny because they'd be judging me the whole set.
Right.
But it was just me being insane. How do you just describe what you share on YouTube now? Because I've seen videos of you with your girlfriend. I've seen videos from, I mean, maybe it was that I heard She's a Lesbian.
Yeah.
So tell people what you're up to on there.
I think, well, eventually in the next, like, I would say in about 6 months, I'm going to be putting out my next film, which I'm very excited about.
Ooh.
I would like YouTube to become more of a space for that for me, but also like sharing fun vlogs and just more lifestyle content. I used to do a lot more advice stuff on YouTube, but I'm finding that people like it in shorter form. So now I do it on TikTok and on Instagram. That's advice in a way that it's not formal advice. It's just my own experiences as a lesbian, and people relate to them or they don't. And kind of just giving a sense of community. So now I do gay girl tips on TikTok, and
can we hear some gay girl tips?
Yeah. Gay girl tips. Okay. Let's see. Do you want PG to R? You can choose.
R.
I was going to do one that, but I was figuring out how I could do it without getting banned on TikTok, about how there's no cool way to put on a strap. So you just like have to roll with it. And like something that's actually fun is like owning the not like coolness and just like having a giggle with the person you're with, because it keeps it fresh and like fun and light and actually connective. Because trying to be the person that's like being really sexy, stepping into a harness or like it literally feels like you're putting on like a diaper over top of you. And then you're like trying to get this like piece of silicone through the right spot. And like, hold on, let me just tighten this side. Hold on. Like, it's just not, you know, it's not that moment when you switch from whatever else you're doing to, okay, the strap is going to make an appearance. It's not, that transition is a very difficult transition to. It's a clunky one. So I think if you can just own the clunkiness, it's actually like cute and fun instead of stressing about it. So that's
a good tip. Like that. I've thought that in my head, but I've never heard someone say it out loud. So it's a good thought. I need more gay girl tips. I feel like that's a perfect niche.
That's so a little sample on
TikTok,
for you.
But these are on TikTok. I'm sure they would kick you off the app if you talked about being that gay.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways you can say it without saying it. So that's what we do.
Okay, good. And your girlfriend makes a lot of appearances on your YouTube. How did you guys meet?
We met at a bar, the old school, the old person way, at a bar before, you know.
In the flesh?
Now in the flesh, in real life. When the lights came on at the bar, I was looking around for my friends at 3 a.m. and I saw her, and I waved at her, and she walked over and said, "Do I know you?" And I said, "No." And then we just started talking. And then we got kicked out of the bar because it was already closing, the lights had come on. And we sat on the curb talking for an hour. I asked her to go home with me. She said no. She got in her separate cab. And I was like, I'm officially in love.
You asked her to go home with you?
Yes. I was having one night stands. I don't even want to say how often. It wasn't even
like,
just
no.
Every weekend. She said no. She
took it slow.
Yeah. She was like, no, see you later. Like, sayonara, bud. And I was like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with you. Like,
you just needed one person to reject you, like, or just keep you at little arm's length for a moment.
Yeah. I liked the rejection. I liked that she was kind of indifferent about me, or like pretending to be at least. At the time, I was like having a lot of fun being single, you know, having one night stands, having a lot of great fun nights with some really cool people, but I just hadn't connected with anyone in that way. And then I had told her that night that my birthday was November 23rd, and on this was like a month and a half before, and then on my birthday she texted me. I was actually going to a hockey game with my dad, and I got a text from her. She was like, "Hey, I remember it's your birthday, happy birthday." And I texted back without anything else, no context, that I said, "I like you."
Had you not been talking in between?
We had not been talking at all. 0%.
Whoa.
I just texted her and said, because I had given her my number, so she hadn't texted me. I didn't have her contact information.
Why didn't she text you?
I don't know. But it made me even more obsessed. I don't know. Like, I asked, but I think she was just like doing her own thing. I think she was like, I don't know if she fully knew that she liked me the way that I knew I liked her. Like, I was like, I was in fucking love.
Right.
And then I think she just thought, oh, a girl, I met a girl at a bar at 3 a.m. You know, like, right. I like to romanticize in my mind that we both felt this way. But she was probably like, oh, this drunk girl at 3 a.m. like made me sit on a curb with her for an hour. I don't know. Like, the difference of perspective.
Right.
So, right. You know, and then so she texted me a month later, and then I'm the crazy person. So I texted back, I like you. And she responded like, what are you talking about? I said, I really like you. And she said, oh, my God, like, you're literally nuts. Like, ha ha ha. And then I was like, I want to date you. So, like, how do we do this? Because, like, I want to date you. Are you just learning that I'm crazy? I'm a crazy person. I'm full
of
crazy.
Well, you have nothing to lose here. I mean, might as well. She's sitting on your number for 6 weeks. Seize the opportunity.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, let's date. let's be girlfriends. Let's get married. Let's be life partners. Like, what's going on? Let's hurry this up. And she was like, I don't know. Like, I like to take things slower. Like, I don't know if I'm looking for a relationship right now. Like, I'm kind of like, you know, I just got out of a relationship however long ago. And I was like, me too. I get you. But like, I'm in love with you. So let's lock this in. She was like, no. And I was like, she's like, I would love to start by just being friends or like hanging out, and then we can see where it goes. And I texted back. I was like, I totally respect that. But no, that's not going to work for me because I cannot be your friend because I like you so much. So you text me again when you are ready to go on a date, and then we will go on a date.
And
then a couple months later, she texted me again. She's like, hey, how's it going? And I was like, I'm actually, weirdly enough, at a charity bowling event in your neighborhood.
I'm outside your house right now.
Yeah, funny enough, I'm just parked across the street. Basically, honestly, I was like, I didn't know at the time where she lived, but I was like two blocks away from where she lived. And she was like, okay, well, if you want to meet me for a drink. So I went and met her for a drink, and then the rest is history. So
how long has it been?
8 years.
Holy shit. I thought you were going to say like 2 years. 8 years?
No. Was
that first date magic?
Oh yeah. Like I was in love from the first moment. Like I am so in love with her. And I know people will disagree and be like, that's crazy. Like, there's no way that can be. But I had been on plenty of dates, and I had had so many hookups that it's startling to think about. And I just can't describe the way that I connected with her as a person, like, immediately. Like, I was like, this is my person. In some capacity, she is meant to be in my life. And here we are. So, so far, so good.
Is amazing. I love to hear that. You know, lesbians, I feel like they either tell you that I've been with them for 15 years and I've been obsessed every day, or you hear, you know, lesbians, we talk about lesbian bed death all the time. I've been living with them for 15 years. They've become my sister.
Oh, God.
We don't touch, like, you know what I mean? Like, we live in the extremes.
We do. I think, lesbian bed death is a weird but, like, very real thing. I've had a lot of friends, like, deal with that. And then, like, a really weird thing that seems to happen, at least with a lot of friends of mine, is when they deal with that, then their resolve is to open up their relationship, which, like, whatever. Like, I'm chill with. That's none of my business. But, like, I always find that so fascinating that they're like, okay, we either like aren't fucking each other or don't want to fuck each other anymore. So let's just fuck other people and see how that goes.
Yeah. It's like a ship is sinking and you're like, well, we should probably like take out a raft instead of like fixing the hole in the ship.
Yeah. Wait, and then, so, you know, they get divorced and it is what it is.
Tell me, what are your tips for keeping it hot for 8 years plus?
I think first of all, three times a day, make sure that you're going down on her. No. I think one is being like communicative and aware of each other's sex drive. I am much more sexually driven than she is, which is really totally fine by me. And I think a lot of people, especially in like lesbian relationships, because we're sensitive little ladies, get offended when their partners aren't like as charged up as they are at all times. So I think like not putting that on your partner or like making sex a thing that feels like a requirement all the time, but something that you can both get excited for when you're excited for it. So I've learned what that is for her. And for her, it's being like ready. She likes to have a shower before. She likes to have a little romance. She likes the, you know, the scene set. Whereas I'm like a rabbit. Like I could fuck anytime. I don't care if I haven't showered in 2 days. Like, let's go. Like, I don't care. Like, call me like crazy, but whatever. Whereas like she likes, you know, she likes the build up. She likes the texts from the start of the day. So if I'm looking to get laid, you know, I start with like some romance, a little flirtatious text, you know, set the scene. Can't wait to see you later when you get home from work. You know, we're setting it up. We're laying the groundwork.
You're
because
doing the work.
I'm aware that if I just jump on her at some point, she's probably going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, not the vibe for me.
All
so,
right,
you know, well, it's just learning each other's what works. That works for her. So, yeah.
I got some Q&A advice out of you. I got more gay girl tips. I really appreciate it. I think you're, you get it. This is a compliment I give some of my guests. You are one of the guests that get it. You get it. You get what I'm talking about. tell people where they can follow you or find you.
Sure. You can find me TikTok, Instagram, YouTube at Brianne Williamson. And there's a link in my bio where there is a newsletter and a text list that will have all the updates for my upcoming LGBTQ plus romantic comedy film.
Cool. Oh, that's fun. I can't wait to hear about that. Thank you so much for coming on, Brianne.
Thank you for having me.